Adigo operator.
Joined.
Center the cost.
Adigo interpreter. Interpreter French.
Joined.
Nobody's in there, obviously.
Adigo, Spanish interpreter on the English call.
I'm sorry.
Joined.
I'm logged into Skype. They've already attached, contacted me on it. Armando? You have English on this headset, Spanish on this. We don't have the dual headset today, but I will have it for you next time. Do you typically use the mute button here?
I usually use this.
Okay. This one here. Are you always muted on this? So here's the English. Alrighty. It's muted right now. Remember, it's this button. Okay? Whatever you do, don't hang up. Thank you very much.
Will you just talk to Monica? Will you just on the English side confirm that Connie and Maya are there? Are you on the English side?
Hello?
Good morning. This is Tanya, the English operator. Good morning.
I heard the French interpreter. She said good morning.
No,
I don't hear him. Armando? Hello, Armando? Armando?
Sure.
Good morning, Armando.
Yeah, good morning.
There we go. Okay. I hear.
Now I can hear you.
Thank you.
Vanda Scartesini.
Joined.
Hello?
Hi, Vanda. This is Tanya, the operator. Vanda?
Yes?
Hi, good morning. This is Tanya, the operator.
Okay.
We're dialing everyone in now.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello? Who is there?
Yeah, we're still trying to get people in, Vanda.
Not yet?
No. Muhammad's line keeps ringing, no answer. Annette's line keeps ringing, busy. So we have, I think Fatimata is on the French channel.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to reach, and it looks like Nick and him haven't signed in yet.
Okay. Okay,
hon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Vanda, we're getting another number for Annette. If you want us to give you a call back a little closer to time, we can do that if you don't want to hold on.
You speak phone, so I can wait. Okay.
Okay.
Hola, estoy haciendo el check-out. Lo siento.
Okay, Vanda, that's Pablo that just signed in on the line.
Hello?
Pablo?
Yes?
Hi, this is the operator. Vanda is also on the line.
Okay.
Okay.
Pablo?
Thank you. Yes.
Pablo, ¿cómo estás?
Bien, bien. Habla Pablo. ¿Quién habla?
Vanda.
Vanda, qué gusto.
¿Cómo estás?
Todo bien. ¿No hay nadie en la conferencia?
¿Mm? No hay nadie. Yo estoy acá aguardando como media hora.
¡Qué barbaridad! Yo chequeé los tiempos y parece que está bien, ¿no?
No logran conectar las personas.
Exacto. ¡Qué barbaridad!
Porque muchos están ocupados todo el tiempo, otros no contestan. No. Yo no sé. Aquí estoy desde de las 15 para 10.
¡Oh, banda!
Bueno, estoy haciendo otras cosas, claro, ¿no?
Sí, entiendo. Yo creo que debemos esperar probablemente unos minutos más y voy a tratar de enviarle un mensaje a Nick o a Matías.
Uh-huh.
para ver qué pasa, ¿no?
Yo no sé lo que sí, por cierto, se pasa, pero vamos a aguardar un rato, ¿no?
¿Este es el canal en español?
¿Qué?
¿Este es el canal en español?
No. Estamos nosotros hablando porque solamente estamos nosotros.
Okay.
Estamos solos, entonces podemos hablar en cualquier lengua.
Un segundo, Panda, déjame ver si ya llegó mi taxi.
Deja si consigue manejar esta cuestión.
Hola, buenas. Ya voy tarde al aeropuerto.
¿Al aeropuerto?
Sí. No, Pablo Hinojosa.
Ah,
caray, ¿y entonces? Hola. Sí. Oiga, voy tarde ya al aeropuerto. ¿Cuánto va a ser?
Le preguntó el nombre.
Sí.
Y le dijo, ¿cómo se llama?
Esa.
No digo, pero ¿cómo la tiene esta persona?
No me acuerdo. ¿Panda?
¿No?
Sí, estoy.
Oye, Panda, qué raro. Estaremos, o sea, ves que había canal en español y canal en inglés, ¿no?
Ajá.
¿Tú entraste al canal en español? ¿O al canal en inglés?
Al canal en inglés.
Ya. Ok, déjame ver si encuentro a Nick.
Ok.
Voy a estar en...
Ok, estoy escuchando.
Cheryl.
Joined.
Hi there, Cheryl here.
Hello.
Hi there, Cheryl here. How are you?
Hi. I'm waiting for more than 30 minutes. I don't know what happened with the others. The operator is trying to call everybody since, 15 to 10. And till now, we have only three persons.
Okay, Vanda, I can tell you what happened. The call time on the wiki says 1330, not 1300 UTC.
Oh.
According to our wiki, which is where my diary comes from, we're about to start in
7 minutes.
Well,
this is Tanya.
Minutes. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Cheryl. Yeah, looks like we got a little dial
hitch.
Happy.
A little hitch. Oh,
little.
Dear. Not good. Okay. Right, so we've got Vanda.
Yes.
Pablo's on the line as well.
Who is?
Pablo.
Pablo?
Yes, Pablo was trying to reach Nikki to understand what's going on. Probably he is in another phone.
But who is Pablo?
Pablo is the liaison from ICANN with South America.
Ah, okay. So he doesn't help us become a quorum.
No. He's just a participant.
That's fine.
Now
I've spoken to Nick already this evening a couple of hours. So
mm-hmm.
I know he also was assuming that what the wiki said is what we were expecting.
Okay. Well, I'm doing another thing.
Oh dear. Who else have we got then?
That's it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to reach Muhammad. I have been unable to reach Muhammad. And
okay.
Someone looks like they're trying to call in now. Hold on.
All right. Thank you, Tanya.
Hola, banda.
Hi. Ya estamos.
Ah, me dice que empieza en 5 minutos, pero no entiendo bien. Decía a la 1 UTC, ¿no?
No, es in the week. No, en el week está marcado como 1:30. Así que como 1:30 acá.
Joined.
Hay una necesidad de más 5 minutos para que todos estén puestos.
Ah, ok. Entonces ahora empezará, supongo.
Ajá. ¿Usted está en Skype? Porque tenemos una lista de personas ya hablando en Skype.
Ah, mira.
En el chat.
No estoy hoy conectado, estoy en camino
está
al aeropuerto.
Okay.
Sí, estoy en camino al aeropuerto. Entonces
okay. Solo
voy a estar por la conferencia aquí, no online.
Okay.
Bueno, voy en mute y aquí estoy.
Okay.
Ciao.
Cheryl and I believe Nick and Sebastian, a lot of them is still red to start up. Okay?
I see. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, Cheryl, bye-bye. Someone else has signed on.
Joined.
I couldn't hear the name, though.
It's me. C'est moi.
Hello, Nick.
Nick, how are
Hello,
you?
Hello, wonderful people.
Hi, Nick. This is Tanya.
How are you?
I can officially
Hello to everyone.
Annette
here.
Hello,
Annette.
I'm sorry, you officially survived 2 weeks where?
In Marina Del Rey.
Wasn't it lovely?
Well, it was lovely coming. We're sorry we didn't see you, Tanya. And
I know.
Sorry for the reason why. How
Thank
terrible.
You. Thank
but, yeah, it's very hard to get any work done when you're meeting with people continuously.
Yeah, that's true.
But we had a jolly time in the office, and I can
Alan
tell you
Greenberg.
That Adigo has wonderful Joined. Donuts.
Wonderful donuts?
Wonderful donuts and sweet muffins.
I think it would be quite reasonable for you to share those then.
I'm sure the Adigo people are listening and can accept requests for transmission of donuts.
We'll beam them to everyone. Hey, Nick, I don't know if John told you. Muhammad's line is ringing. We're not having a pickup at his line. So I'm not sure if he's on Skype or not.
I can't see him on Skype, and I can't see Howard on Skype.
Okay. Well, no, we don't know how Howard won't be attending.
I know Anita is here, but she's not on Skype.
That's true.
Well, we added you to the chat just in case you logged in, Anita.
Yeah, sure. I'm working on it.
Joined.
Okay, looks like Wendy's about to join.
Does someone have to add me to the chat, too? Or can I do this myself?
I will add you.
Thank you.
May I invite myself?
I added you, Annetta.
Oh, yeah, that was just a joke.
I got Alan. Who else is logged on now?
How do I actually use it once I'm added? Something just... No, that's... Adigo 1.
Should say ALAC meeting for May at the top.
Joined.
This is joined. That's interesting.
Whoever did brought in static.
Yep.
Sorry, it's Wendy. So it's static as always.
Can you try once more, Wendy, perhaps?
No, I'll mute, though.
Now, Nick, where am I supposed to see this?
A Skype window should pop up, and sometimes it's a slight delay, but...
No, it's happened last time, too. It opens, but it opens, minimized.
Ah. Secret Skype.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Zuni has just pinged.
In 5 minutes.
He'll be in a minute. Have we got Sebastian in yet?
Yes, I am in.
Ah, thank you. As soon as Azumi joins, I think we then have a quorum. At the moment of ALAC members, I have myself, Vanda, Annetta, Tatamata on the French channel, Alan, Robert, and Sebastian. Is there anyone else who needs to identify themselves as ALAC members? I also have Wendy, I have Pablo. That's it at the moment.
The minutes for the meeting says there's also a Spanish channel. Is that correct?
There is. They have separate IDs now, too. So
okay, I
directly
just hadn't realized we were doing Spanish as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, this time, call-offs are not around.
Joined.
Who is that?
Bo.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, Bo, do you have a Skype address?
No, you know, I don't have Skype. I've been contemplating getting it. I guess I should.
It's free.
Yeah. Well, the gear's not free, right? But that's not a big deal.
Well, I mean, you can use it without. You can just use your, like, laptop speakers, but it's a little funny sometimes.
Yeah, I will. My wife and I have been talking a lot about it, so I'll get it together.
Welcome, Bo. That will be good because we do run that as a chat during the call. It allows us for people who want to say, I wish to speak on something. It also allows us to raise questions, and particularly when we're running in other languages, if somebody is able to put a synopsis or a simple language version of what the discussion topic is at any time, it does help the interpreters as well.
Okay, I will look into getting it this week.
Cheryl, that's very impressive. You can type hi without a pause in your talk.
True multitasking.
Alan, it's the advantage of having two X chromosomes as opposed to an X and a broken one.
Given the exchange we had last night and this morning, I'd be careful what you're saying.
Now, Alan, I'm relying on you to make sure that what I say is actually what I mean, seeing clearly I was incapable of doing that a few hours ago.
Just for everyone else's amusement, Cheryl and I traded a few notes, and she apologized for a typo, and in that apology had a typo.
Which, might I share with you, was highly inflammatory and could have been taken as quite an insult. So
well, the whole stream started off with me being ignored as the liaison on the committee, and then got worse.
It just degenerated from there. Okay. Well, we do have a quorum. And I do thank everybody for being prompt, and particularly those of you who were on a call perhaps a little longer than you'd planned. We did have Tanya and the people from Adigo dialing you out a little early. The call was listed to start at 13:30 UTC, although some of you have been on for an extended period of time. I trust that being able to start within 5 minutes of the advertised time is a benefit that we will all appreciate, and perhaps if we can try and get people in the sort of 10 to 15 minutes before the advertised time, that would be great. I have now wished to call to apologies. We've had some go through to the email listing. I've noted Carlos Jose. Who else do we have as an apology?
I believe, what is it, Hawa?
Oh, Howard is an apology? Okay.
I believe, yeah. Looking now. Jacqueline is an apology.
Yes. Yes, I should have remembered Jacqueline, yes. Anyone else?
I think that's everyone.
Okay.
Is somebody dialing out to Hong? Because, I think she might have been in the call here.
Was Hong listed for the dial out?
She should be. She requested one.
Okay. Well, we need to move on to the agenda now, and we have the first standing agenda item, which is the adoption of the agenda. I'd like to note that we actually have a very full agenda tonight, and we also have a meeting starting immediately after this meeting is scheduled to finish, so we will not be able to extend unless everybody who wishes to either stay and join us for the summit planning committee meeting or the summit planning committee people don't come in until they're 5 or 10 minutes later after time. So we need to keep to time fairly promptly this evening. We've done call for apologies, and I'd now like to ask for any comments before we have the adoption of the minutes of the last meeting. Has everyone had the opportunity to look at the minutes of the last meeting? If I dare suggest that silence probably means you're either not going to confess to the fact you haven't read it, or that you're all absolutely happy that you have and that everything is a true and accurate record. I will note that Robert has on Skype seconded the minutes. That's all very nice, Robert, but someone who's actually at the meeting on the 8th has to propose it first. So can I have somebody move that the minutes are a true and accurate record, and then we can accept Robert's seconding of it. Thank you, Sebastian. If there is no further discussion and nobody's saying they disagree, I would suggest that we now accept those minutes and move on to item four, which is
with the note that I abstain.
You abstaining, certainly?
I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay, yep, not a problem. We'll make sure that's noted. If we move to the action items of the 8th of April.
Joined.
Welcome, Matthias.
Hello.
Hi, Matthias.
Hello.
We're just up to action items of the 8th of April. Pardon me.
Cheryl, maybe... Sebastian,
yep.
just to, besides the apologize, I don't know if we officially said within ILAC meeting that Veronica decided not to be any more member of the ILAC committee, and that's something we have to take into account too.
Okay, would you like to bring that up under any other business later?
Yes, madam. No problem.
No, I think it's a very important point, and certainly something that the Uralo people will need to deal with as well.
Sure.
Go ahead. Who was that? No? Okay. Going quickly through the action items for the 8th of April. The first item, Wendy, the first two items, Wendy, refer to you, and I know your time is short with us this evening, so we will deal with these. The board liaison will ask the board for a timeline for new GTLDs, and the board liaison will ask the board to make a decision on their Riga meeting on whether trademark rights exist at the top level of the main name system. Now, we are aware that you didn't make the last call, and we have noted your posting to the list of your report. Would you care to speak to either of those matters?
Yes, the board has not given a timeline for new GTLDs. They have are engaged in various implementation considerations and consultations with the GNSO Council and with staff, and we are still all very much up in the air as to when and if new GTLDs will in fact be introduced. So there's no further concrete information on that front. Following the board's interaction with the GNSO is the best indication of what's happening there. And you can see that the implementation details are being described more fully, but there's still some ways to go there. The board did not make a decision on whether trademark rights exist at the top level of the DNS. I raised that concern and question, as well as some earlier legal counsel advice rejecting others' contentions that trademark rights should be recognized at the top level of the DMS. And the board did not make any decision, although it's indicated that its legal position naturally changes over time in response to the circumstances of the situation overall. I still think that there are persuasive reasons against recognizing trademark rights in the top level. The board, the inclination seems to be to leave lots of the contentious issues for independent dispute resolution processes. So the board won't be making those decisions, nor will ICANN staff or management, but various classes of issues, including the general issue of what will be left to will be shunted to independent dispute resolution bodies and presented there.
I can't hear you, sorry.
Sorry. The various conflict issues, the four that are currently being discussed most heavily, will be decided. The intent is that they will be decided not by... by ICANN staff or board, but by challenges before independent dispute resolution providers who are trying to be lined up now, and that applicants will, in their application, agree to be bound by those independent dispute resolution processes and then go through that. Of course, there's always the opportunity for independent challenges, even after that.
Left.
That is the current state of affairs.
Okay. So we're holding our breath, but probably not too certain when we'll have to exhale on the first matter.
Oh.
But there is some. Perhaps not perfect, but discussion at least on the IP issues. Do you feel that we need to do anything on either of these matters, Wendy?
I think it's always useful to give input, and so if we think that something is going too slowly, it would be helpful for ELAC to be among those saying that. If we feel that certain issues that are being designated as appropriate issues for contention aren't, we should say that. So I've raised on ALAC list suggestions that the morality and public order criteria or the very open description of rights of others leaves lots of room for strike suits and gaming of the system, and that I personally would like to see narrowed, and if others in ALAC agree, there would be that would be useful for comment. If others think that there are points of challenge missing from the discussion, it would be useful to get those in. The further it goes down the path of implementation, the harder it's going to be to bring up new issues or to even to continue raising old issues.
Of course. The new GTLD working group, of course, this is their raison d'etre. This you've raised on the public
Who's
at large.
Who's speaking? I can't hear anything.
Oh, me too. It's very noisy. I don't know what's wrong with the line.
Hong, welcome. It's Wendy's line is giving a lot of interference. When she's muted, you won't have any problem.
But still, could you speak up?
Could I speak up?
Yes.
Well, do you have a volume on your phone at the receiving end? Because I'm actually speaking quite loud. Can anyone else not hear me?
It's better now. Thanks.
Well, I haven't changed my volume one iota.
What I was asking is, with the new GTLD working group, have they picked up, or are they intending to pick up and pursue those matters that Wendy raised? I'm not necessarily asking for a reply. I'm just flagging that discourse and discussion in the at-large public list needs to be picked up by the working groups when it is relevant to their reason for being. There was a question from Robert. Wendy is asking for a specific definition of what that question is. Robert, would you care to clarify?
Yeah, as Wendy kind of answered the question, because I made the comments while she was speaking, is I too would see it problematic that I can try to define and try to get into issues of defining or blocking domain names that are related to morality or public order. You know, it may not be that much of an issue in some developed countries, but in developing countries, and particularly the Middle East, where we have a fall meeting, censorship around morality and public order is quite common. And so I see it that, you know, ICANN should be very careful not to get into that space, as I don't see it as being the appropriate venue, and would be supportive of Wendy's efforts to make sure that ICANN steer clear of that.
Okay, thank you for that. Wendy's responded on the chat channel. Does that...
if Robert's viewpoint is shared by a significant portion of ALAC, it would be useful to get that into the discussion.
Well, that's something that the RALOs will have to come back to us on. Because I can assure you, you won't get a uniform view even within AP RALO, and I doubt that you'll get a uniform view between RALOs. I think the matters of what the definition of morality or public order is quite complex when we start to look across, not only across the regions, but in the case of my own region, and I'm sure Azumi will agree with me, within our region, there is enormous variety indeed. What we would do, I think, is ensure that the matter of ICANN not being involved in content, regardless of what the local definition of suitable or otherwise is, we might be able to work at a higher level to get the proper outcomes. So I think that's one that we need to ask each of the RALO representatives on the ALAC to take back to their monthly meetings and give prompt feedback both to the ALAC and to the new GTLD working group. While they're doing that, I would like them to perhaps look at the discussions and record from the one-day GNSO meeting that was held last month devoted to the matter of new GTLDs. I spent a reasonable amount of time on that teleconference. I think it was actually an 11-hour straight teleconference. But there was quite a few interesting points of discussion as staff went through with the GNSO people attending some of the subtleties and nuances. I did make extensive notes, which I'm happy to tidy up, turn into some semblance of English and share with you all. But there was a number of times there when the internet-using public and local views, in other words, what people in the area of the market a new GTLD was pitching itself at, thought of things, was becoming quite important. So we really do need to engage our ALSs and our RALOs and the at-large in general in this process early so they're well prepared to be involved later. It's as Wendy has just said, I'll repeat it here. There are lots of places where the public is invoked but not actually heard from. That's exactly what we need to try and redress. I couldn't agree with you more. If there's no other matters on this discussion, remembering that new GTLDs appear later in our discussions, I'd like to move on to the third point in the action items, and that's actually the third and fourth point, and that's to do with the IVN CCTLD's fast track. RALO leaders were encouraged last month to get discussions going on fast track implementation. I've only noticed deafening silence on this matter, but I'd like Hong to make some very short comments and suggest that we will also revisit this very specifically when we look at the topic of better engagement of RALOs later in the meeting. Hong, do you care to say anything?
Sure, of course. In April, IDN Working Group had two conference calls, and in May, we had one. So totally in three conference calls, a couple of issues have been talked about. There are two most contentious issues. One is on the language committee, now it's been called a group for linguistic experts. It is going to evaluate two issues. One is whether the application on one IDN stream is official language, is the official script from the one CCTLD territory. Another is to verify whether that stream is meaningful. It sounds these ideas are feasible, are viable, but the problem is that the reality will be much more complicated than that. Say, if the language committee believe that the screen is the official screen, is official screen, and it is meaningful. But there's still a big problem, a political problem that cannot be handled within the language community and handled by the linguistic experts. That is, it is the country name. It is the country name that is wanted by one territory and disputed by another territory. Then we have to think about the GAC principle, whether CCTLD is issued within the sovereignty of a CCTLD territory or should be or could be interfered by other territories. Another most contentious issue is objection procedure. Actually, it's very connected to the one I just talked about. That is, if one application for one CCTLD IDN stream has been filed to ICANN board.
I'm sorry, who's speaking at this moment?
Hong. Hong is speaking. I'm talking about IDN. an update. objection. It is by no means objection within the IDN CCTLD territory. In the territory, there should be consensus. That is a prerequisite. The problem is that once one territory has reached consensus and files application to the board, whether the stakeholders from other territories, from another CCTLD territory, say Kosovo file an application and Serb file opposition to the board, either from the Serb government, from the Serb business, or from the Serb user community.
Oh.
Very interesting scenario. Yeah. Oh.
Can
you have a question?
Slow down a little because the interpreters are having to interpret sort of heavy technical matters.
The French channel and the Spanish channel is having trouble keeping up with you.
Sure, of course. The problem is that I can hardly hear you. The line is still very noisy. Fortunately, I'm almost finished. These are two issues that's been talked through in all three teleconferences. I've raised a couple of issues in the calls. One issue I raised on behalf of the interest of user community is that if there is going to be an objection procedure, not only the government, they emphasize the sovereign government, but also the user community, say 1,000 Iran Internet users should also be able to file the obligations, should file the objections, sorry. Another issue is that I really worry that the procedure has become very complicated, especially this newly added objection procedure. And I'm concerned that the implementation will be further delayed because of the increasingly complicated procedure. That is. Back to you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Hong. I believe you are not alone in your concerns about the procedure for fast-track IDNs in CCTLDs becoming too complicated. And we do, I think, have an important role as ALAC and at large to play here, and that is to get a clear concept from the various regions and the particularly the ALSs within each region regarding what they feel about the important questions of a language expert committee and an objection procedure. We have a very powerful and necessarily important player in this from the GAC, but of course GAC in itself view is not a consensus view other than the high level matters of sovereignty. The variation, for example, in the Arab community who have already spent several years in joint work coming up with very much the principles that the proposed language expert group would be doing, they quite rightfully ask why would a new group have any power to overturn what they as a regional community have already agreed on. So we need to hear very clearly from the ALSs and the RALOs so that we, Hong and I, can feed properly into this process.
Cheryl, as we talked in last conference call, our last month's conference call, I've already set up the wiki page for the regional participation on the IDN section at ALAC wiki. But I haven't seen any comments from any real. So
exactly.
If our members could do some outreach in their regions, that would be very helpful
to
let us voices heard. No, sorry.
I'm going to have to drop off, but I was joining your concern that we don't tend to hear from our users enough, and seems like an appropriate note for me to apologize for having to leave the call. See you on Skype and on with.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll ping you on the details with the expanding date.
Left.
Hong, I would go further than saying it would be helpful. I would be suggesting to every one of the NA, AP, EU and AFRALO representatives here tonight that it is their job description to go back to their next monthly RALO meeting and make this a priority matter. In fact, I'd like to see them doing it online and getting results at their next monthly meeting.
That would be great.
It certainly would be. Okay, if we can just very quickly now go
excuse me,
through what
may I have Anita here.
Go ahead, Anita. Yes, Anita.
Short. I just want to go back to Hong. Hong, it would be very helpful if, you know, if you could address this actually directly to the RALOs and explain it a little bit.
There is a wealth of information in the IDN working group.
I know, but it is too much information. It is very hard to discuss it this way by linking to wikis and say, oh, here, there's something important there. But
sorry, who's speaking at this time?
Annette.
Annette. Yeah. Sure, I agree. The IDN wiki has become very informative indeed, and it would be difficult for the first-time visitors. But we are now talking about one issue, that is the fast track at CCNSO. It is now on the front page, item one on the top. but I fully see your point, Annette. Iwan designed a template for this outreach document in plain language for ordinary users.
Exactly.
I guess it's very useful. It could be used on IDN as well. I
exactly.
really want to work this in on this.
This is my point.
This might be an ideal time just to make a mental note in our meeting here, that we need to come back to this in more detail under the topic discussion for better engagement of the community, particularly the ALSs and the RALOs, and ensure that we use this as an example, perhaps, as we're discussing the type of template information that Evan has prepared from the summit perspective and has put up a template document which currently deals with domain tasting but could just as easily deal in terms as a template for any topic including IDNs. So if we can come back to that later in the meeting, that would be very, very good. Alan is quite reasonably raising a point of order with me, which is a review of action items, should review on the action items, not a review of substance. Well, we'll never get to the actual agenda items. Thank you for that, Alan. And I was just going to say the majority of the action items are matters for staff to deal with. Is there anything that staff hasn't or wishes to tell us about a difficulty or direction on their listed action items before we move on to the agenda?
Sorry, just unmuting. I don't see anything that is particularly relevant. We have not yet set up a teleconference to discuss the new at-large website. We are still drafting the proposals for how the new site would look, and it seems sensible to actually have that done before going on to the next step. That said, there are a sort of continuous stream of slight updates and improvements being made to the site that don't affect the navigability. You'll see now that you can see the latest announcements posted to ICANN.org will appear now on the right-hand side of the main page, which was newly enabled. Other than that, I can't think of anything particular. The rest of these are administrative matters related to agendas. So.
Yep. Okay. That's great.
I should say one thing, though, yes. In relation to teleconferences and their starting, is we had a very productive meeting with our teleconference vendor, the outcome of which is that it will be possible, and is possible now, to IM them on Skype, and in fact they are included in the Skype chat. So if at any point you become disconnected, you can simply ask them to redial you in Skype. And secondarily, you can dial directly into the Spanish and French channels now on any teleconference which has those languages. You don't have to wait for a dial-out if a toll-free number exists for you.
Cheryl, may I have a request to Nick this logistic issue? Oh, Nick, I've sent
that
an email to
that does depend on
Matia.
The country.
Sorry, who was that?
The dialogue, that does depend on the country.
Yes.
There is a toll-free number for China, but China has two telecom providers. That number is only for the southern part of China. It is not working in the north part of China.
Indeed.
Is it possible to add another toll-free number for the CCNSO conference? They have two numbers for the two operators.
Yes, We did bring that up. We talked to them, and they are in the process of adding a new number or enabling toll-free access to the existing number in the north. And it is simply a matter of waiting, basically.
Oh, thanks.
That is good news indeed. I'm sure Hong is smiling.
Is there anything for Africa?
Fatima
is asking.
There are requests in for toll-free numbers for several African countries, but it is not possible to get a free phone number in all countries. And there are often very long waiting lists, we are informed. But they are working on it.
Okay. Thank you. The liaison reports is the next item. All of those have either been posted to the list and have a link from this page, or are about to be posted from the list and will have a link from this page. Can I suggest that it is up to the liaisons themselves to be doing that? I went through and listed an incomplete list. I do apologise, Alan. I didn't put him on. GNSO had not been listed.
GNSO is not one of the more important groups anyway.
Now, don't start. Come on. We did this today already. it is extraordinarily important. It was me that wasn't functioning well. But I would like to see if we can get the staff just to note the standard pro forma needs to ensure that there is a space for each liaison to put up the link. Not everybody's wiki skills are as good as they need to be, and perhaps now you've had a few moments to recover from Marina Del Rey, you might be able to quietly kick them in the shins prior to the meeting and suggest that people do in fact post them in a timely manner. That leaves us now to the important matter of issues to be raised at the ICANN board meeting, but that also comes in to item 4 listed below on the items for discussion. Would you like to move item 7 of standing agenda items to after our other discussions? Yes or no? We deal with matters to be raised at the board meeting now or after we've had the other items discussed?
After.
After? Fine. Works for me. Nick, thank you very much for reminding me that I had... Now, this is a Freudian slip, Alan. I am being Freudian now. I probably didn't want to face ALS applications, particularly... in the light of our very next agenda item, which is trying to use plain and simple language when we're trying to vote on these things. But we should have a brief moment to look at the current status of ALS applications. Those of you who have your Google Docs will note a few changes, I assume. But Nick, is there any update you'd like to give us briefly?
Yes, firstly, of the 11 applications here, 3 of them are suspended, 2 at the request of the applicant, one at the request of the applicant, 1 due to having an incomplete application, that one is quite old, and a 3rd where we are waiting for information to complete the due diligence process. 4 have been voted on very recently. And we have 3 others, 1 which is done with the due diligence, and we are waiting for regional advice. Another which is in Africa, which is in the same position, and one which came in quite recently. We are investigating whether or not the Arab Regional ISPs and DSPs Association is actually end-user related, or if they have mistakenly applied to the wrong community for membership. So we will obviously let you know what we find out from them. On the four applications which have recently been voted on, and I won't get into the manner of wording because I know you're going to discuss that next, we have received 9 votes so far. There are a couple of people on the conference call who have not voted. It would not be impossible for us to record a paper vote, as they are called, in the system for you if you wish to vote. One application is set to be rejected because the regional advice for France at large was to reject the application. And the applicant there has said that he will appeal to the ombudsman, who I do not believe will find fault with the community or the staff, to be honest.
And Cheryl has been in quite regular contact in the last month with the ombudsman. Frank is waiting for this complaint, and staff is also...
Who's speaking at this moment?
Cheryl.
Okay. Cheryl.
Thank you so much.
If anyone wishes to record a vote by voice, which we can then input, that would be helpful. Otherwise, we do have a court result.
Can I move that, is there anybody here who has not voted who wishes to have their vote recorded either by voice or on the Skype chat now? To add to the 9 of us who voted on this matter so far?
Can Nick identify who hasn't voted? It's a public list from our perspective.
Yes. Right now I show, of those on the call in particular, Robert and Bo have not voted. Hawa has not voted. Nguyen Thu Hue has not voted.
Su Wei hasn't done a
And Veronica hasn't voted, even though Veronica remains technically a member of the ALAC until an election is held to fill that vacancy.
If she resigned,
I don't think we can say she's a member.
I'm just going by the rules of procedure, which state that you're a member until you're gone.
We can't expect her vote and her...
No one can force her to vote, of course, but...
Nor should she. I don't think she should. If she's resigned, she's resigned.
I agree.
Right.
Is Robert... Are Robert and Bo still on the call?
Yeah. This is Bo. I'm happy to do a voice vote. I mean, I voted in the first election that didn't fly. I didn't vote in the...
I'm sorry, who's speaking at this time?
This is Bo Brendler. Yeah, I'm happy to do a voice vote now. I voted in the first election that didn't work, but apparently I missed the second one. So I hereby vote to follow all the regional advice.
So noted.
Robert?
Agree with Bo. I so vote as well.
It's Sebastian. I may say a few words here. I will not participate to the vote, not because I have no position on that, but I think it's a bit tricky for me to say something. The leader of this so-called organization, it's a member of ISAC France, is living just 300 meters from my home, and I have some exchange with him. My feeling is that I don't read all my emails, and I missed some. Then it's maybe why I didn't take care of that. But I think as soon as possible it can go to the ombudsman, it will be better. And even I think that if ALAC send it to the ombudsman, it will be a good step ahead and not waiting for any movement
exactly.
from the guy from At Large. And I have to be careful because we are all registered here, but just be aware that we will need to handle the situation and those type of exchange during the Paris meeting, and I just want to apologize for that.
Sebastian, may I ask a question, though? Assuming that you would either like to not vote or abstain on the France at Large application, do you wish to record a vote for the other three applicants?
I will do it immediately. I am sorry, but there are thousands of mail too late for me. And these three other organizations, the original advice was yes, I guess.
Yes, that's true.
Then I say yes for the... I follow the original advice each time, please.
Except for... do you want to abstain on France at Large or simply not?
No, I would like to... I will not participate to the vote. I didn't abstain either. Vote yes or not, please.
I'm sorry, who is speaking at this time?
Sebastian.
It was Sebastian. Yeah.
Obviously, the need for us to, and it is Cheryl speaking at this time, to identify ourselves, because our dulcet tones are not being recognised, needs to be brought in. Now we're using the interpreter channels, so we will do our best, but it does seriously interrupt our flow of discussion.
Is the interpreter on Skype?
The interpreter is not on at present. They are working on that.
Okay.
So, Sebastian, thank you. Thank you for that, and I can only offer our empathy on the situation that will undoubtedly happen in the Paris meeting. It is unfortunate indeed that we will have ruffled feathers, but so be it. I don't believe that we need to send anything to the Ombudsman because we aren't complaining about anything. If the applicant wishes to complain, the natural course for them is to the Ombudsman, and the Ombudsman has indeed been briefed.
One thing I would add here is I think I would say that your interpretation, Cheryl, is correct, that you cannot complain about yourself. But if you wish, ALAC may ask the Ombudsman to use his good offices to review the situation, which might make the applicant feel better and allow him a venue to make his views known.
Well, let's see whether the applicant, in the response to our results of the vote, wishes to take it any further. My guess is yes.
I would like to support what Nick just said. I think it will be less heavy and less... painful if we say that we take the opportunity to ask the Ombudsman on, as Nick said, I will not repeat. From my point of view, it will be easier and better, and not to wait that the applicant say something. We will decrease the
noise,
the noise and the clash in this situation. It's my feeling. Sorry.
I agree with you.
I think you live in hope, and I'm more than happy to do that. I'm sure the noise will happen anyway, and the Ombudsman will then stop asking me when is something going to happen. He seems to be quite keen. So I will let Frank know that we will be formally asking him to review the process in this matter, and I will ask staff to let the applicant know, along with the results of the vote, that we have indeed formally requested the Ombudsman to look at this process.
Cheryl, it's Alan. May I suggest, instead of saying we will formally ask him, ask the Ombudsman, is there some practical way that we can bring this to his attention formally, with the right words, review or something else, let him indicate the proper way of getting it on his table.
Okay. Well, in fact, it's already on his table. I've got a case number.
Okay. okay. Then I withdraw.
I
this is nice. This is wonderful.
I will have a chat with him if that's useful.
Yes. Let's make sure the wording, the nomenclature is correct. Nick, if you let him know he can use my allocated case number, that's fine. Okay. Moving now then to items for discussion at this meeting, and a perfect segue from the item we've just completed, and that is plain, simple language use and the clarification of requirements for ALS application votes. I don't think we should spend too much time now describing our mutual horror of what happened in this last vote and the inability of otherwise intelligent people to vote and get the result they intended in the system. What we need to do is find a mechanism that does not allow this awful situation to occur again. I have Alan wishing to speak. Annette, I note you're about to leave us in 5 minutes. Did you wish to speak on this matter as well?
No.
Okay. Alan, the floor is yours.
Okay. First of all, I'd really like to have posted on our wiki or our website or somewhere the current policies. Whatever was reviewed, was approved in San Juan, it would be nice to know exactly what that was and would make these kind of decisions and discussions an awful lot easier. Second, as far as I can tell based on what is posted, which is a summary of that, I believe, aimed at the applicant, it said that we shouldn't have even had most of these votes. We shouldn't even have had a vote unless someone explicitly said we need it. So I'd like to defer this discussion other than to say we want something that's understandable to a time when we can actually discuss it based on what our current rules are and what we want to change them to.
Are you suggesting
I'm expressing a significant amount of frustration on not finding current copies, not draft copies, not old copies of the actual rules that we're running under.
Understood. But are you suggesting we move this to a face-to-face meeting?
No, I'm suggesting that someone set a pointer to it and then someone within very short time propose new wording. I just find it hard to have discussions when I don't have in front of me what it is we're talking about.
Okay. Well,
but I'm happy to have a vote saying we want clearer language next time we have an ALS vote.
I'm glad to hear that. Anybody else wish to speak on this matter? The requirement under the mechanism that was agreed upon in San Juan does indeed, as Alan pointed out, indicate that a vote is not mandatory. It's discretionary. But at the San Juan meeting, we agreed, certainly while the RALOs were getting used to the new system, while the whole concept of what was even required of them in terms of their due diligence, what was meaningful and what was not, would be that we would still have our vote as a matter of normal course until a point in time when we simply would let it run and only vote when something extraordinary needed to be done. So I think we need to perhaps revisit that on either this call or intersessionally on the list. My personal view is that at this stage we should still be voting. Secondly, I'll let you have a go in a minute, Nick.
And me too.
It is very clear that if we vote, we are voting to either accept, to reject, or to abstain from agreement with the regional advice. And that's where the plain, simple language needs to be sorted out properly. Yes, Nick, go ahead.
I just wished to note that Cheryl did, because she was aware that the France at Large application was the regional advice to that application was in the negative. She asked that a vote be arranged, and that's why it was set up.
Okay,
aside from the other statement, which Cheryl just made.
I've put my stake in the ground many times. I think we should be actively voting on virtually everything. I really object to this principle that we seem to have adopted, that silence equals agreement. It puts us in a very embarrassing and awkward position in relation to a lot of things. So I'm not advocating no votes. I'm just saying let's try to make things as simple as we can, and let's make sure that next time we have an ALS vote, that it be understandable. And I would propose that someone put some draft wording on the table very quickly, but I would also like to see exactly what the policy is we approved in San Juan.
Okay. Well, I think we can have that done online, if that can be an action item on staff. We need to redistribute to the list the final documents that are the process mechanisms for ALS applications, and we need to clarify that when we vote, we are voting for or against or abstaining from voting on the regional advice. What that regional advice is to be listed, but we could look at that wording and dot the
I. Hello, Annette Mühlberg.
I disagree, actually.
Go ahead, Owen. Why?
I disagree because in the case where there is no regional advice, then we will have to vote on accepting or rejecting the application. I believe we should always vote on accepting the or rejecting the application with a clear statement in block letters ahead what the regional advice is. Then the question is always the same regardless of whether there's regional advice or not.
And what you're asking then is to go back and revisit the processes.
If necessary, yes. I think that's the only way we end up with a consistent question.
Well, perhaps we need to start firstly by looking at what the processes are in the final draft form, and we can have that put out to the list along with some proposed simple language words, which will be absolutely the same for every vote.
I support that.
And take it offline for the discussion. Does anybody else wish to make any comments or put their point of view at this point?
This is Bo. I just want to agree with Alan.
I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
And this is Fatimata.
Yes, Fatimata.
If
go
we
ahead.
Don't keep in mind the opinion of the regional process.
Yeah, I understand. Cheryl so, here, I understand.
No, et je comprends.
That was very much the reason that in San Juan we decided that we would be voting on the regional advice, not voting on the application for or against, because it was the regional advice that was pivotal. It's putting the responsibility at the local level, and in fact some of the processes where there is regional discretion required means that there can't be a situation where the regional advice doesn't happen. But is that something that Bo and Alan have issues with? We need to discuss it further. I'm just not sure we have time to discuss it tonight.
Then let's actually do something on our mailing list.
Well, that was just suggested for the action item, that the current policy procedures are posted and draft wording goes with it. So, did you wish to
I'm more than happy to resolve it on the mailing list. That's fine with me. No problem.
But it was an extensively discussed document developed, and there was very strong views on why regional advice should be being sought, and in fact why it was essential, and that it wasn't really the role of us at arm's length
and
to try and make those assumptions on the merits, but the local information was essential.
I don't think we're changing that at all. We're just changing we're suggesting that the question be phrased in a different way, not that we are recommending that there not be regional advice or that it not be followed in most cases.
Yeah, I mean, the point is if I'm having trouble voting and I've just gone through a vote and I can't figure out what the hell I've done, then God help the people who are voting in different languages. So I think the system needs to be changed.
Yeah, there may have been extensive advice. Unfortunately, I think I had to leave before discussion, but it seems to have been wrong.
So I
don't know whether I participated in that discussion or not at this point.
I think we'll need to discuss that at length.
Okay.
Because what we need is clear understanding and simple language in the voting.
I can say that I remember when this particular area of the new procedure was discussed. It was in San Juan, but it was late on the Friday morning meeting that went until after lunchtime, and this part was actually discussed very late in that meeting, which had already run over by a couple of hours after a very long meeting on the same subject the previous day. So that's why it may not seem as logical now as it did at that time. As I recall, there were a lot of people wishing to leave and eat at the time.
If it's broken, it needs fixing. We need to discuss it, but we need to discuss it online. The next item for decision-making tonight, we have now not made a decision other than a decision to make a decision at another point in time for item one, is item two, the matter of ratification or otherwise, of and the status of ALAC statements lodged since the last meeting. Now, I would suggest that there'll be a placeholder for this type of discussion at most meetings, because at most meetings we should have put some form of statement or substantial work into some form of statement intersessionally. But specifically, the statements from the ALAC that have gone in since our last meeting as a result of working group activities and the processes of having the at-large and list comments and wiki comments integrated into them where possible and practical include the comments on the operational budget and planning, the travel policy, and the statement on the new GNSO reform. We need to apparently go through some formal process of deciding what is an ALAC statement. And I'd like to give, say, shall we leave 5 or so minutes for anyone to raise any points they wish to on this matter, with specific reference to those statements that have been lodged since our last meeting. You can use the Skype chat if you want to.
I'm sorry, that sentence was worded too confusingly for me at this point. Are you saying we'll have 5 minutes to discuss those particular issues, but we're going to discuss the general process now?
ALAC statements have gone in.
Okay.
There's 3 ALAC statements that have been lodged. There is question in some of the RALO activity as to whether or not whether they are valid ALAC statements. I'm not going to weigh in with my view to begin with. I'd like to spend 5 minutes hearing the views on the validity or the ratification, or perhaps we need to roll back even further and define what is an ALAC statement and what RALOs and ALSs have the opportunity to do. And I'd like to open the floor for around 5 minutes at least to have that discussion. And yes, Nick, a flowchart on how things were created would be not only useful, it would be a basic template because how they were created is how we're supposed to create them. So who else? That was on Skype, see if anybody wanted to know where I responded to Nick from. He just suggested, would it be useful to provide a flowchart-based view of how the three statements created, the various levels of comments taken, and the like? My response is yes, but I'd like to hear from the rest of the community.
Well, I've already spoken, but I'll speak again when my name comes up on the list, if there's no one else.
All right, I have Alan listed. Is anyone else wishing to be listed? Bo? Robert? It's your RALO that is the only RALO that is causing any concern over the validity or otherwise of these ALEC statements. I would like to hear from each of you.
Okay. You can put me on the list. This is Bo.
Thank you, Bo. Robert?
Sure, I'll speak next after Bo.
Thank you. Do you want to go in that order then, Alan, Bo, and Robert, or do you want to go Bo, Robert, and Alan? In other words, Alan, do you want the right
let to them, or the let, right? Let them speak first.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bo.
I just think there is some concern in the North American RALO about the substance of ALEC statements in the sense that historically for a few of them, it seems to wind up that only a couple people really substantively weigh in. I think that was the major concern brought by. In other words, some of the statements that have been made on behalf of ALEC, I think it has appeared from the outside as if only one or two people from the ALEC are really participating in and or working on the statement. Would you say that's a fair assessment, Robert?
I wouldn't put a number, but I would just say that it's a statement that comes from a small subset of the people involved. So, I'll comment more, I think, but, you know, I think it's the issue is that they may not feel that it represents as many people, that it comes from a small group. This brings up a couple of other issues, but I'll agree with your comments. So.
I mean, and just in reflecting on GTLDs, for instance, I mean, if you kind of go back and look at what was said on GTLDs, I think basically the way that came together is a couple, maybe four or five or so people in the ALEC said something about them, and then either John or Alan, you know, or Danny kind of cobbled together what was said to be an ALEC statement somewhat at the last minute, but there were a lot of people on ALEC who just didn't seem to have an opinion of who hadn't really, it didn't feel like a joint statement, I think, to some people because not everybody had an opinion. And I think maybe it might be good if we had more of a consensus process in the sense that if we're going to make a statement on something, then we should, not every ALEC member is going to have an opinion on it, but maybe it should be sort of done like a roll call, you know, like if you don't have an opinion, then you say no opinion, and then the document or the statement feels like something more of a consensus. This really, I'm talking in generalities, but I think the big issue came up most recently with kind of that whole battle over the, it's probably better not to go into it here, but that's just kind of my general statement.
I'm not sure where else we can go into it if it's not here.
Well, I don't know what it is you want me to.
I plan to go into it, so you might as well start.
Well, I think just it was of concern about there was a draft statement that was put together, and in the NA RALO's view, it was put together without the opportunity for the NA RALO to comment on it, and I think there was disagreement as to what exactly it wound up saying.
For the record, that was an accurate evaluation on their part.
For the record, it was an inaccurate evaluation?
No, it was an accurate.
Alan, take it away. Go ahead.
Okay, you said that the NA RALO felt that the statement was put out as a draft statement before they had a chance to comment on it and input into the process.
And that the deadline, as they subsequently came to realize it, was incredibly short.
That's right, and I can't argue with that. I was on the committee that was drafting it, although I wasn't part of the process that actually did the drafting. I was given a version to comment on. It was explicitly marked confidential, do not redistribute to anyone, and I honored that. And the next thing I heard officially was it was being distributed on a wider scale, saying here's the draft ALEC statement with the incredibly short timeline. And so I think that was an accurate assessment. I think our challenge is we're always going to have people who don't have comments and don't have input and then may not agree with the final result. That's tough. But I think we need a process by which the RALOs and the ALSs, should the RALOs choose to push it down, are told that this is in the works, are asked for comments, and if there's some draft or some notes that they can comment on at that point, it would be advantageous. It's better to give them something to critique as opposed to a completely blank slate. There has to be enough time for them to do it, but they have to be nimble and do it quickly. And then I think if something is called an ALAC statement, it has to be voted on by the ALAC. There should be an opportunity for someone who disagrees with it, not just to vote no, but to comment on why they voted no, so that if there's not agreement, and there's going to be plenty of things where there is not agreement on the ALAC, that whoever we're making the statement to has the benefit of the understanding the range of views. But I think we have to come down to doing our job of what we're paid for, if you excuse the expression. And if we're going to make a statement, then we have to actually formally take that decision. I don't see any other way that we can be viewed as representing our group unless we take actions in those kind of cases. And whether we do have to have more conference calls or make sure people respond electronically, which we don't seem to be that good at doing, I don't know.
And I guess, just if you don't mind me interjecting, Alan.
No, I think I've said what I meant.
This is Beau again. I guess the other issue that would concern me also, which is kind of a critique of the NARALO in a sense, but I don't think any of us would have known about this had not a particular member of the NARALO who's very, very active and very, very knowledgeable kind of figured it out somehow and basically started badgering me and probably others to say something about it. It just sort of seemed like this particular one got by a lot of us.
Yeah, but both that pushed it up a day or so. That didn't really change the overall order of things.
Okay.
Can I point out that you're actually talking about two things? You're talking about ALAC statements, and you're talking about a joint constituency statement.
Indeed.
And we need to make sure that we come up with mechanisms that meet the needs of both. Robert, you're reminding me that you're in the queue.
I am. I'm just waiting for my colleagues to finish to just share some comments.
I'm sorry. I thought you had spoken and it was passed to me. My apologies.
No, I had agreed with Beau and had allowed him to continue.
Go for it.
Beau, are you done?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. Just a couple things. I mean, I think I have kind of two large comments. I think on the larger issue of statements, I think we have to be careful in that we might be adding undue process and get bogged down in terms of how we want to construe that. So I would want to make sure that anything we define is lightweight and doesn't get us stuck in procedure so we can't actually say anything at all. So that's number one. Number two, we have to also recognize that, we are representing diversity. And it might be good to include in our statement saying that we have diverse views on something. And so if one region or another has a different opinion, I think, the constituency is focused on the ability to engage users. And so we should say, well, either we could say that, all the users that, we can define regions or the RALOs that we've spoken with, and we can say, yes, there's consensus, or we can say there's a variety of different views and bring those forward, because I think that's the primary purpose that we should try to do, and do that. So I think, diversity, I think, is important in our statements, and all too often, sometimes we don't include that, and I think that's something that we could do going forward. I think, I too was badgered. I was actually traveling at the time, and the person in question, called me a couple of times. So I think, we do need to have some sort of processes that if stuff comes out and is confidential, but people do get it anyway, and we need to put that in. I mean, we should see it as just someone wanted engagement, which was good. And so I think we're not nimble enough. And so, you know, in summary, what do I suggest here? I suggest that if we don't, as I mentioned in the chat, I mean, if we don't have a defined process, technically we should have one. So I would, you know, hope that that gets drafted somehow, that we should make sure that diversity of views and maybe minority opinions, sometimes from the railos, may need to come out, and they should. And at the same time, you know, we should have not only a process where everyone can vote, but we might want to delegate certain issues that we see are being tracked that required very quick opinions, and maybe have a smaller set of people that can go through a quicker process. You know, it's great that NA Railo is very much active and engaged. I just wish that, you know, other regions were so engaged as well. And so, you know, that's maybe a positive thing. It may generate some issues. And, you know, if the organization scales up, I mean, we're going to have more of those issues. So we should, you know, worry about that as well. So with that, I'm done with my comments.
And I actually have to jump off. Sorry, everybody. It's Bo. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I have a brief follow-on?
Please do.
Bo-vember.
Okay.
Left.
In general, I agree with what Robert said. We need a process. It needs to be nimble. We can't get bogged down. But on the other hand, we can't ignore the fact that that the 15 members of this committee have been put there to take action, and we have to occasionally do that.
That was me saying yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All I heard was a sound in the background. And we need, you know, whether it's a joint statement or a simple statement of the ALAC, we need an ability to register diversity. I mean, in the case of the statement, I don't like some of the things in the joint statement, other things I can live with. One part I absolutely object to very strenuously, and that is the recommendation that NOMCOM members of the GNSO not have a vote. And I can, you know, elaborate on that as to why I believe that. But that's something I refuse to have my, you know, if I had a choice, refuse to have my name associated with. And I believe it was based on particular issues within the GNSO that we don't need to go into here.
And you do know that, and I'd like this call to record, that those points of view, specifically that you raised then, Alan, mm-hmm. were put to the rest of the constituencies working on the joint user.
And
ALAC is going to have a major problem with this, and you're not going to get ongoing agreement with it.
I understand. I'm not saying you didn't pass that on. My position is by the time it reaches its final endpoint, which is the board or whoever it was addressed to, that diversity should have, you know, I want that diversity recorded.
What our associated, that is why our statement that was actually ready or should have been ready and could have been lodged 25 days earlier than the joint statement between the constituencies went in, was held over to allow for that diversity of view and the responses to the joint statement to be incorporated.
Okay. I wasn't talking so much about that statement as an example of the kinds of things that our process must allow. But the bottom line in my mind is the things like this that are come out as an ALAC statement have to go to the ALAC, and we have to be nimble enough to approve them or reject them or comment on them and have diverse opinions as an ongoing basis. Otherwise, I don't believe we have the credibility that we're going to need in this organization.
Fine. Which brings us to the point of looking at what constitutes a working group, what constitutes appropriate input from a region into working groups. And indeed, when you look at the lineup that was involved in putting together the statements that had been lodged in this prior month, we'd actually had more than 50% of the ALAC involved in the development of each of them.
But we also need to make very clear in future planning that if a region does not see a NOMCOM as appointee, as a valid representative of their RALO and regional views, that needs to be accounted for. In Asia Pacific RALO, we show no difference between our NOMCOM appointees and our elected appointees. I won't speak for other RALOs, but it seems that we have a divergence of opinion. And whilst we can assume if AP RALO puts forward a nominee onto a working group, they are speaking on behalf of the region, whether they're an appointee by election, an appointee by an act of God, or an appointee by a NOMCOM, that they are reflecting the regional view into that process. That is not the case across all of the RALOs, as we now have painfully learned, and it may be that we need to mandate that we have nominees clearly designated as RALO representatives on working groups, and that we ensure that there is a space for NOMCOM.
I object strenuously, and I'm insulted by that.
I wasn't suggesting that.
No, no.
By these, my personal belief, it is what I have seen.
And most of the members of this committee have not seen the dialogues that have gone on the NA RALO.
And I would very much like you to have the chance to explain why, and perhaps Robert might come in onto this, why we are having a very detailed discussion when one out of five regions has raised issues, not so much on substance, but on process. And that process is specifically whether or not their region was actually represented in the process taken by the working groups.
Is this floor mine? I'm not sure who you're waiting for.
Oh, either. I was hoping you'd take it.
Okay.
I'm of the belief that we have bylaws that make it very clear, 15 people, three per region, and we don't discriminate. And that's
okay.
How I'm happy to operate.
The comments that were made on the NA RALO list, and I'm not quoting verbatim, I don't have them in front of me, but I believe this is the gist, is that I was involved in the creation of that document. Because I am a NOMCOM appointee, I am not obliged to represent the RALO, and therefore I decided on my own that I would ignore them, not tell them anything, and simply make comments on my own volition. I don't know how people have decided they can read my mind, but that is not what happened. I believe that was a rather objectionable thing to say. In this particular case, the only version of the document I saw ahead of time was one that was marked confidential, and I honored it. I sent out a note last night, which unfortunately the list has held up. I sent out another version this morning, which everyone, I hope, has gotten. Now, my position is, if in the case of North American RALO, if Bo or Robert are on some group that I'm working on, I'm assuming that they are representing the RALO. If they're not, then I take it upon myself to do that, and I will advise the RALO of what's going on, if that's relevant in this particular issue, and will pass back substantive comments from the RALO. I can't imagine any other NOMCOM-appointed member of ALAC would do differently, but I can't speak for them. So I think this issue of, in my case, I'm a NOMCOM appointee, and therefore I don't give a damn about the RALO, I act on my own, is specious. I don't think it's based on any fact, and I find it objectionable. Done.
And I would like to call this meeting to make it very clear for the record that the ALAC is made up of 15 people, three per region. And the equity balance in regions, whilst it in no way represents population and diversity or even number of ALSs, is one NOMCOM appointee per region and two RALO appointees per region. Once you become ALAC, you are, by the bylaws, treated equitably in ALAC activities. If RALOs have a problem with that, then I would encourage the RALO appointees on the ALAC to ensure that input from regions comes from where it is meant to, which is RALO input and ALS input into policy development processes during public comment periods, where the diversity, and more to the point, the specific needs of their regions can be best brought forward. That input will also need to come in to the larger global consensus view, which it is the ALAC task to build. And I would like to think that in the 2 minutes we have before another meeting has to start, some of the other members at this meeting would like to make some comments. I personally, Alan, feel nothing but heartfelt sorrow for the anxiety, stress and insult you, as a most hard-working and I believe very, very fine representative of your region, have been put through. But I'd like to call to anyone else to make any comments at this time, and I'd be more than happy to hear from Robert as well.
I support your comment, Cheryl. I think it's very important that you say that the ALAC, it's 15 people, and we don't have to care where we come from and which are the color of our skin and where we are living. And we are a team, and the team came for the bylaw from two different way of nomination, election, whatever. But at the end of the day, we need to be the 15 as 15 people all together. Thank you.
Robert, you wish to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, though I agree with the overall sentiment, I think just saying that we're just 15 and that's it, I think is too simplistic an action to take. So I think what I would say is that if this raises anything, is that there's misunderstanding, and that needs to, you know, in any either introduction of people to the group, and any orientation material, that needs to be made clear. So let's not just make a statement, but let's recognize that some people may think that's the case and try to address
it. Darlene.
Joined.
Welcome, Darlene. We're just making every attempt to wrap up the ALAC meeting, the monthly ALAC meeting. I've just typed that we have our summit people dialing in now. I trust you won't mind listening to us prattle on in the final moments of getting G, almost halfway through an agenda, ladies and gentlemen. We have a number of matters that we have now not got to, but it was important for us to cover off, and I don't think we've completed. Evander has just suggested that she believes this issue is clear enough. It might be clear enough, Vanda, I think, to the ALAC, that the ALAC is five regions, three people from each region, two from the RALOs and one NOMCOM, but it's painfully clear to me that that's not well understood, or more to the point, if it is understood, that some of the RALOs have not managed to ensure that their elected representatives are on all the working groups that they need to be on for them to have their voice specifically put in. So it is one of those matters that we will have to take on and discuss further. I would suggest that it is essential that we do actually get statements out. If that requires written delegated authority to working groups, I will be more than happy to go down that path.
Gareth Sherman.
And I will be also more than happy to have a vote taken. I'm going to ask if staff will put up a set of alternate times for us to reconvene this meeting. It is now time for us to call a halt to the ALAC meeting for 13th of May. Note that we have managed to get to point three on items for decision at this meeting and have the rest of the agenda dealt with either online or in a reconvened meeting to be decided both in the internal list and probably on Doodle. And I would also suggest that any reconvened meeting should be on or about the next 5 to 7 days because we do need to particularly pay attention to our planning for Paris, our one-day workshop, and at least one thing we will have is better summit reporting because we are about to start our meeting for the summit. Those of you in this call who stay on the summit call, you might all want to get up, stretch your legs and take a few deep breaths. And the rest of you, but thank you for joining us. And whilst we do, Wendy's typing, I suggest we do agendas by email and resolve the items that way too. That might be fine for people who are literate and comfortable typing in English, but there is a very good reason for us to have teleconferences and face-to-face meetings, and I'm certainly not going to support not working in intersessionally, but I will also suggest that we have to work in teleconference and we have to hear and debate face-to-face matters as well. Skype, however, is a good thing, and I'd encourage us to perhaps use better intersessional chat reporting and questions as well. Thank you all from the ALAC meeting and welcome those of you to the summit. If those on the ALAC wish to hang up now, we'll hear all your goodbyes.
Left.
Can I ask everyone to actually hang up and dial back in because otherwise we won't be able to split the recording properly.
Okay, we'll now have to dial back in and...
Bye-bye.
Alan Greenberg.
Left.
Darlene.
Left.
Gareth Sherman.
Left.
Cheryl.
Left.
Izumiya Izu.
Left.
Nick.
Left.
Adigo operator.
Left.
Sebastian.
Left.
Darlene.
Joined.
Nick.
Joined.
Cheryl.
Joined.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's been so long.
I must say, I've missed you all.
It's like
my backpack
really.
When they've got this in you.
Banda, hello.
Left.
Hongzhu, dial out to China.
Left.
Darlene.
Left.
Adigo.
No, I didn't.
Spanish interpreter on the English
I'm
call.
I'm sorry.
Left.
Cheryl.
Left.
Center the cost.
Adigo interpreter. Interpreter French.
Left.
Nick.
Left.